Amen. All right. Open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And we're going to continue on with our study on Satan, the defeated foe. And Luke 10, verse 19. And it's important to understand, you know, the devil may, you know, the Bible tells us that he walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He just walking around, the only time he gets to devour somebody is when they let him. The best mind picture I ever got of this was this. These guys were in Africa, and they said that these goat herders would make these little pins out of thorn bushes. And it'd be like a hedge. And they'd put their goats in these pins at night. And these lions would come up there and roar as loud as they could at those goats. As long as those goats just laid there and didn't leave, they were okay. But if they ever bolted and left their little hedge of protection, that lion had them. That's the way people are. The devil, see, he knows that you have a hedge of protection. If you've been taking advantage of what God has given you and taking his word and putting it in the atmosphere and claiming his protection and staying under the blood, pleading the blood of Jesus, he knows you've got a hedge of protection. Sometimes people tear their hedge of protection down. You know, people are good at tearing their own little hedge of protection down. Job did it, you know. We're no different. We have the ability to tear our hedge of protection down and leave ourselves open to the devil. But sometimes the devil will get up there. He won't be able to get to you in any other way than through fear. So he'll come up and roar as loud as he can. So what would a roar look like or sound like? You've got cancer. You're going to lose your job. You're not going to be able to pay your bills. Inflation is out of control. You're not going to be able to afford food. You're not going to be able to do this. You're not going to be able to do that. And what is that? That's like wind and waves. The same kind of stuff that got Peter in trouble. He started looking at the wind and the waves and he started sinking. What he does is he throws these fiery darts your way. And those fiery darts are high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So when he says, you're going to die, you got 6 months to live. That's a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because the knowledge of God says, with the long life will he satisfy you and show you his salvation. That's the knowledge of God. But he throws these things at you to try to get you afraid. He thinks that if he can get you into fear, it's possible that he can get you into doubt. And if he can get you into doubt, he can get you into unbelief. And then he's got you in his arena and you're no match. But if you keep him in the arena of faith, he's no match for you. You're going to have to watch the words of your mouth and watch your confession. So when he throws something at you, an accusation or a some kind of a bad report, you're going to have to make sure that your tongue stays in line with the Word of God. No matter how crazy it may seem, no matter how much fear he throws at you, you still have to keep him in the arena of faith. You got to understand that we are seated together in Christ, in the heavenlies, and all authority is his. And he has delegated or given this authority to us in his name. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 19. It says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." That's a big promise. He's given us power and authority over the devil. And he's also said that nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, the only way that you're going to be able to exercise power and authority over the devil is with the words of your mouth. And you're going to have to talk directly at him or his demons, whatever it may be. But you talk to them in the name of Jesus and you tell them to get. Now, there's some squirrels running around out there that think that's like having a conversation with the devil. That's stupid. You're not having a conversation with the devil. You're telling him what to do, and you're telling him to leave. You've been given authority to do that. We'll get into more of that in a little bit. I want you to look in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. And this is a promise that Jesus gave to us. He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." Now, how in the world are you going to cast out a devil if you don't talk to that thing and tell it to get? What do you think he's just going to do? Do you think he's just going to leave just because you showed up? Well, sometimes people got to think these things through. You have to tell them what to do the same way Jesus did. They're not going to just go away just because you showed up. Said, "They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." You must understand that Satan and his demons are very real. If our spiritual eyes were opened and we could see the warfare that is continually raging between satanic forces and God's holy angels, today we'd be amazed. We must keep in mind that these evil beings are defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ and that we have authority over them in his name. He is defeated. He's been defanged. If he's chewing on you, he's doing it with his gums. He's been defeated. He's been defanged. He still has some weapons. He has, these fiery darts are very real. And people have to understand that this is something that this is your battleground right here between your ears, your mind. I like Joyce Myers wrote that book called The Battlefield of the Mind. That is absolutely, that should be mandatory reading for every Christian. Because that's where most of our warfare is fought, right here. Keith Jarrett, I love that guy. He said, I have lived through many horrible things. 95% of them only happened here. But that's true. That's true. When there's an event, when there's something, when there's a possibility, when there's something going on, there's an event, you see a bump down the road, there's a challenge over here, there's something happened over here, somebody said this over here. That's one of the devil's favorite times to get in your head and start giving you all these possible scenarios, all these possible things these people could do to you, all these possible things that could happen at your job, all these possible things that could happen on the next meeting, all these possible things that could happen. But they won't if you see them through the eyes of faith. Man, sometimes, I know every one of us has had an opportunity to have our mind just run away with us, you know. Something happened and we don't have a chance to just get off by ourselves and just settle down and focus in on what God says about it and get things straight in our hearts before we go about our deal and say maybe we're in a hurry, you know, maybe we have a loved one that got sick or maybe something happened and we're racing, we're trying to get to wherever we got to be and we're just thinking all of these things that could happen. Yeah, and then we get there and it's nothing like what we had imagined in our mind. Not even close. But the devil was really working on us, trying to get us wore down. We got to be vigilant about watching what happens up here. He has no access to your spirit, but he does have access to your soul. Sometimes diseases are directly caused by evil spirits. Did you know that Jesus didn't just walk around healing everybody? Sometimes he went up and cast a devil out of somebody, and the person would get up healed. I thought that was interesting, and I always wondered about that. And then one day he showed it to me one-on-one in a prayer line. The lady came up to get prayer, and she said, my heart hurts. My chest hurts all the time. And so everybody laid hands on her, and they started praying the prayer of faith. And I got a check, and I stopped, and I thought, well, something's not right. And I said, you foul spirit of infirmity, get out of her in the name of Jesus now. And she looked right at me and said, it's gone. Her chest quit hurting. I thought, that was different. But see, Jesus didn't just go around healing everybody. Sometimes they got delivered. Uncommon fear and compulsions are demonic. You know, sometimes people step into a realm of fear that's completely, they are completely controlled by it. And they are completely shut down by it. They will completely shut down from this fear. That's demonic. Fear is a spirit. There's no such thing as healthy fear. There's some people like to teach that, but there's no such thing as healthy fear. There's no healthy fear. Fear is a spirit, and it didn't come from God, so it cannot be healthy. Now, you can have respect for stuff, and you should have respect for stuff, but not fear. Accidents and disasters are brought upon God's children by the devil and his hosts. And for the most part, the body of Christ has not known that Jesus expected us to take authority over the enemy. You know, remember in John 10:10, it tells us that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If the body of Christ would get a hold of that verse, they would quit blaming God for a lot of things that he didn't do. You know, insurance companies call tornadoes an act of God. They call floods an act of God. They call all kinds of stuff an act of God. It's not his fault. He didn't do that. Somebody's little baby will die. And they'll reason it through with each other. And they'll say, well, God didn't want that baby to go through all the misery of being an adult. So he saved that baby from all the possible sins it could have been. That's stupid. That's stupid. They blamed God for what the devil did. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. We have actually been disobedient to his commands to us in a lot of ways. When we don't take authority over the devil, we're being disobedient to him. Jesus spent a great part of his earthly ministry casting out devils. Some were causing sickness and torment. There's a lot of different things that happen to people. Sometimes they do have a sickness. Sometimes they have a demon. It's an interesting thing to, when at the amount of people that think that a Christian cannot have a demon. You know, when a man gets born again, his spirit gets born again. And that is wholly 100% owned by God. When a man gets born again, his spirit is owned by God. There is no demon in his spirit whatsoever. Now that man may have spent 30 years of his life in some pretty shady places, coming in contact with some pretty demonic things. And he may even be actually active in still in some of that stuff, even after he got born again. Somebody might say, well, that's not even possible. So yeah, he's got this soul that he's attached to, that is attached to his spirit. His soul didn't get born again. Remember, the Bible tells us that we need to have our minds renewed to the Word of God. There's some things that a man can be involved in, spirit-filled, and still have a demon in him. I went to Bible school with the Navajo Indian. And he had been around a lot of pretty shady stuff. You know, a lot of the native religions can get pretty out there. You know, they'll actively put curses on people sometimes. This guy got born again, and he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was a strong believer. And he was in a prayer line one day, and I was supposed to just follow this evangelist down and just kind of watch him and kind of copycat him. So we got down to this guy, and I reached out to lay hands on him, and he started growling at me. What in the world is up with you? And this guy, he just took authority over that thing, cast it out. And he was bent over, growling, and I laid my hand on his back, and that thing felt like he was on fire. And then pretty soon he just stood up and he was relieved. Well, what happened? That was a guy that got born again. He even got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A tongue talker. And he got a devil cast out of him. See, that's the thing about redemption. God's going to take us from glory to glory to glory to glory. He's going to take us one step at a time. He's going to load you up with some good stuff. And he's going to keep cleaning you up as you go. You take another step and he'll prune you. Just like it talks about in the vineyard. The guy, the vine dresser. God is the husbandman. He'll start pruning things off of you. You know, it's good you get into the family of God and you're going, you're saved, but he's not done with you. He'll clean the rough edge off you over here, clean up some stuff over here, prune you a little bit here, add some more stuff to you, prune you a little bit more over here, and pretty soon you don't even recognize yourself. Because you're different. Now here's the thing. Whenever, you know, I encourage people in street ministry, and it's important to understand at some point, if you do enough street ministry, or even ministry in church, wherever you may be, at some point in time, you're going to run across a situation where you're going to have to take authority over the devil. And it's important to understand this part. Go to Mark chapter 3, verse 27. You must bind the strong man. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. You're going to have to take authority over that devil. And how you do that is say, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That ties his hands. You've got him bound. You have to do that in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then you go on about casting him out. You first need to bind him. You need to bind the strong man of the house. Get him subdued. He's defeated. You have to enforce it. Look at 2 Corinthians, verse 2. It's important to understand that we are eternal victors in Christ Jesus. Already are. You're not fighting for victory. You already have the victory. You're just enforcing it. So when you understand that you're not fighting for victory, you're fighting from victory ground, that changes things. When you already know that you already have the victory, you're going to talk differently. You're going to have more confidence. You're going to have more boldness. If you're fighting for victory, you already don't understand who you are in Christ. And you're probably not going to say the right things with any authority. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That means we already are there. We're not trying to get there. We've been placed there. If you're trying to get there, then you don't understand who you are and what Christ has already done. You're already in that place. You're seated at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Don't be deceived. The devil and his demons have invaded the church of Christ through the occult. Many Christians do not recognize the occult, and they have been deceived into cooperation with the devil through occult games, TV shows, newspaper items such as the horoscope, books, all types of entertainment. It's a long list. But every occult practice falls under the abominations listed in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 through 12. Here's the thing. You have to, at some point, ask yourself, why do you believe what you believe? Why is this okay? Why do you think this is okay? One of the things people would look at me like I was absolutely insane when I would tell them that Disney is an altogether evil corporation. 10 years ago, when I would say that, people would say, oh my God, you are some kind of a freak. Now the truth is coming out on Disney and the horrific things that they've been doing. And there's still some people that think Disney's okay. And I was shocked at some of the power preachers that I am familiar with that like to go to Disneyland and places like that. And I'm sitting there thinking, Disney is one of the Illuminati families. And you're taking your kids there. Some people would get mad at me because I spent quite a bit of time studying the Illuminati. Well, if you don't know who they are and what they're doing and how they're doing it, how are you going to keep yourself away from it? See, this is one of the things that a lot of people get really mad at me and say, you got to understand just how demonic the Democrat Party is. And then they just go all crazy. And I say, you also have to understand just how demonic the Republican Party is. then they'd be quivering by then. And I'd say, honestly, when the truth comes out how demonic the Bush family is, you're going to faint. And these guys, their eyes would get, especially these Texans, these faithful Texans, their eyes would get that big and they just cross their hearts and say, he said that about the Bushes. Did you know that the left wing and the right wing belong to the same bird? Just because you color it one way or another doesn't mean that it's right. But you're not going to know that if you don't know that. See, you don't know what you don't know. And the only reason I even studied the Illuminati at all was because people kept asking me about the Masons. And I just had the understanding that the Masons were no good. So I started studying the Masons. And then I started understanding a little bit more why our presidents were the way they were, because most of them were Masons. But see, if you don't understand that the same way, see, the church has a pretty good grasp on the reality that God works through people. They can accept that. The church can pretty much accept that God will work through people. They'll have a little different degree of acceptance on how much he's willing to do. But it seems like they have very little patience with the reality that the devil has to work through people too. So then you can understand why Paul said that our fight is not with flesh and blood. Our weapons are not flesh and blood. They're not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But it's our prayers. It's our words. Well, that's all I got. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. We thank you in the name of Jesus for the authority that you've given us to use his name to clear out our enemies. We thank you for the angels that cause your word to be performed on our behalf when we speak it forth in faith into the atmosphere. It gives them a commission. Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.